everybody's talking about now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, from legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake, Scott? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
I would do
anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But well, just let me talking and I keep going.
It's now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Join me. And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is Tuesday, February 21st, 2017, 1:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program. I am Scott Spears, and I hope you're out there having a good day, because a day when it's close to 70 degrees in February is something for Ohio. Today in this hour, we are going to talk to the group from Marion Can Do. They've been on Charlie's show before. I don't think, oddly enough, they've ever been on my show, which is strange because, you know, most people have. I must have neglected at some point to send the invitation out. I feel terrible now.
You should feel terrible.
I do. I feel horrible that I didn't do this, because I've met and talked with Can Do last year at the Industrial Club, mm-hmm. which was a lot of fun. Lisa Mendoza's in studio. She's one of the members of Marion Can Do. Lisa, why don't you introduce yourself to people and what you do with Can Do?
I'm actually contracted with Marion Can Do to do their communications and social media management. And a lot of what people see comes from me. I'm the girl behind the curtain. So I do their Facebook, their Twitter, and LinkedIn. And we work closely together, so it's actually a lot of fun, because I get to be the voice, but they tell me, you know, the good stuff.
You know, it's funny, because when I spoke at the Industrial Club last mm-hmm. September, I saw you sitting at a table mm-hmm. snapping pictures.
Yep.
And I thought, who is this? Mm-hmm. This I didn't know this was going to be like a publicity event. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the pictures after the event. I said, oh, that's where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that you have this platform that I really don't see many organizations or even businesses in Marion have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People always wonder, why is this girl taking pictures of us? But everything I think about is about getting my phone out and snapping pictures. Okay,
talk about pictures.
Because mm-hmm, media goes a lot further when you have visuals. So, I mean, if people don't know who's speaking, they're not going to know Scott Spears. They needed to know the face. A lot of people, not everyone, because you obviously have a radio show. But it helps us get out there. It helps us show off where we are, anywhere we can take pictures, show pictures of robots and events and everything. I'm always snapping. That way, people usually don't think about it, and they don't want to be self-indulgent, so I do it for them.
Well, you know what's funny, because in my life, I just am not a picture snapper.
Mm-hmm.
I never do it. If any pictures of me surface, it's somebody else took them, mm-hmm. which you would kind of have to until this whole selfie thing
mm-hmm.
happened.
Yeah.
Although you'll never see me with one of those pictures where my hands aren't in the picture, because mm-hmm. I don't take the pictures, but it seems like there's a craft to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always thought it was pretty simple. You know, it's just what people do. It's what's natural. But I was quickly told that that's not true because I use my phone a lot. So my friends call me the selfie queen.
Oh, you like the selfies?
I don't do it like self-indulgently. I'm always taking pictures of people that I'm with because
well, that's nothing wrong
you know,
with that.
It's good for both of us. And in order to have a good following, you have to post often. So showing the personality that I have and that Gus and Denny have is really important because if they see what goes on either behind the scenes or who we're doing things with, you know, our board will take pictures with them and we just make it fun. That way people see that we're real people and they want to engage with us more rather than just staging photos because that's never what people really want to see.
And that's Gus Comstock, Denny Ferguson,
yep.
Members of Can Do, and they'll be here momentarily. It's interesting though, because if somebody else is in the picture, is that a selfie?
I see my friends and I call it a Delphi and a 12 feet.
A
like
Delphi.
We make words up.
Really?
It's like a duo, but we call it, I know I shouldn't be saying this out loud, but yeah,
feel right at home. This is good.
I use the selfie camera, so I call it a selfie, but no, I don't know. I think if you take it yourself, that's when I call it a selfie.
Do you think that if I take a picture of the wall, now that's not a selfie,
no,
even
but
though
if
I
you're
took the
in
picture.
The picture that you take, it's a selfie, right?
I don't know, because how many people can you fit with your hand up here?
Listen, when we were at the wind turbine thing at One Energy in Findlay, we had, I think, 7 or 8 of us in one selfie. And I wasn't the most beautiful picture, but it was a picture.
You got people in it.
Yeah.
Now, you have to get close to people, though, don't you?
You do. It's
See, right there would be where I'd stop.
It's a little bit of a bubble invasion, I'm not going to lie.
You know, people are very big about their own personal space
Now,
unless it's a selfie.
Luckily, we all are very close, with regard to interacting with each other. We're very comfortable. But yeah, there are some boundaries that probably shouldn't be crossed. That's needless to say.
No, if you have to get a selfie, because you don't want to leave somebody out.
Mm-mm.
That's the worst thing.
That's, yeah.
Because then you can't tag them on Facebook.
Right.
It's like they weren't even there.
I've had people complain to me before that I did not
there you go.
Tag them. And I'm like, well, first, we have to be friends on Facebook. And secondly, maybe you weren't around when I took it. So we have to spread the love out.
Isn't that like the worst thing you can do to somebody now is unfriend them?
Yeah. Unfriend or leave them out on a tag. I mean,
oh man,
it's like saying that you're not friends anymore when really you probably just don't notice.
I don't know why people unfriend people, but that apparently is a very big, I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how out of the loop I am. I didn't realize that was that big an issue.
It's heartbreaking.
Is it?
People.
No. I didn't realize people were kept awake at night.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll tell you what. See, if like as Can Do, a representative for them, if I don't always like someone's page or something, it can look like we're being biased, you know? So it's the same concept.
People notice that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
goodness.
Why aren't you? So that's, you know, we kind of learn from the individual. Nobody wants to be unfriended or not followed. So it's the same thing with business. You know, you have to kind of spread it out there. I mean, not have to, but we choose to share the love. You know what I mean?
You have to.
Social media is huge. If people don't like you on social media, it's a good chance they don't care about what you're doing, or they won't care about what you're doing. So we have to try to make it appealing to everybody.
How big a part do you think social media plays in everybody's life now?
I would say huge. I mean, if you ask millennials, where do we get most of our information from? It's probably social media. So that's really important.
Now, do you think that's good or bad? I think it has its good points and I think it has its bad points.
Yeah, it's good and bad. I would say that you can't get all the information off of social media because it's not always true. But at least people who don't read newspapers can find it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because unfortunately, newspapers in a way.
It's a little floppy.
Oh, if you only knew what was going on here right now. We've got Gus Comstock and Denny Ferguson have joined us here from the Marion Can Do organization, and we're very happy to have them here. And Lisa has given you the chair with the wobble. Gus,
I meant to switch them, but I couldn't talk.
You could have waved your hands at me or something, and I would have stopped for a moment.
Careful, it's a little wobbly, Gus.
Yeah,
but if he falls off, we'll make sure and laugh really loud.
Well, so we'll know what happens. But
it's
we're
be
so
on the radio, nobody will see it.
That's exactly right.
But unless, see, we were just talking about social media. What if I get it on social media?
But the camera's not out yet, is it?
We could go live. I mean, if I feel like it's wobbling, I could make it happen.
So if you see things start to look uncomfortable, you might get us ready to go here.
Matches are
Oh, I didn't notice that. I'll have to take a selfie of my matching microphone and shirt.
You are? I didn't even realize that.
See?
Yeah, Gus picked right up on that. Green microphone, green shirt.
He notices fashion more than I do.
Yeah. Oh, a fashion follower. There you go. I'm so glad that you guys are able to be here because, like I was telling Lisa, I don't think we've ever had you on this show. You were on Charlie's show last year, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think people say the name Can-Do. It's become, I would say, probably 90% of Marion knows the name, but most people don't know what you do. So it's always good to have you on and learn about that. So, Gus, if you had to describe to somebody who only knew the word, only knew the name, what does Can-Do do? What do they do?
We are the county's economic development agency. We're the ones that interact with companies that are existing or maybe looking at Marion as a potential site or relocation.
How many companies, do they contact you? Do you contact them? How does that work?
Typically what happens is we're a member of Columbus 2020. Columbus 2020 is the 11 county regional economic development organization. There are 6 regions in the state of Ohio. The 11 counties in central Ohio make up the Columbus 2020 region. Typically, companies, when they're deciding where to look, they may say, well, we need to have a facility in the Midwest. Maybe we should put one in Ohio. Well, we should maybe be in the Columbus region. We need to have, 500 acres, 1,000 acres. Well, then Denny works a lot on this. It's a new system. It used to be called Ohio One. Now it's called Zoom Prospector, where we put all the information about the buildings and the sites we have available in Marion. And then 2020 matches those up. And if we have a site that meets those specifications, then we'll start working with Columbus 2020, the site selector, or the company, in trying to refine that information so they can make an educated decision on where they want to be. Mm.
What would you regard in your time with Marion Can-Do as your biggest success?
I think the biggest success has been, I love to be in local restaurants and hear people talking about economic development. Hey, I heard a rumor about this, or, I heard that Union Tank might be expanding, or I heard, Whirlpool's building a new ventless dryer, or Ohio Health's doing this. So that's what gets me excited, knowing that people in the community are excited about the resurgence of Marion being a, major player in Ohio's economy.
Where do you see Marion right now in Ohio's economy, and where do you see us in 10 years?
Marion is going to be America's workforce development capital. This is where people are going to look for the ideas and the inspiration on how do you find the best workforce for a company.
What will cause that to happen? Or what is causing that to happen?
The educational institutions and the people that are working to build the workforce for Marion. And people are coming from all over the world to come here to see how that's being done. I mean, look at just Ramtech. People from all over the world are watching what goes on at Ramtech.
That really has become a jewel.
Yes.
The pancake breakfast is out at Tri Rivers this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
And I know that, I don't know if they'll be giving free tours during that, but I know in the past they have. Mm-hmm. And if you have not seen that facility, Ramtech, out at Tri Rivers, my goodness, it is amazing.
Yeah, that's the future of manufacturing. A lot of people will talk about, what it was like here 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago with manufacturing. That's not going to be the future of manufacturing. Marion is going to continue to be a manufacturing community, but it's going to be along the lines of what a lot of people call collaborative robotics, people working alongside robots. A robot will do one thing, the person will pick it up and do the other thing, or people will be coming and fixing the robots.
Well, it's interesting because if you just think about it in the That was a neat sound effect. That came across good. It's interesting because if you drive through a McDonald's, you see the soda machine is a robot, essentially.
Your iPhone's a robot.
Yeah. Everything. Everything is going in that direction. But people, human beings, still play a part.
Yeah. I think, you're kind of asking me what it's going to be like in, 15, 20 years. Columbus just was named to be, got a major federal grant to be called the Smart City Initiative. And we just started talking about, we need to be involved in that. I mean, everything you do from, a gallon of milk will have an RFID tag on it. They'll have information about that milk. You put that in your refrigerator will tell you the milk's got a couple more days until it expires. Two, when you're driving down 23, a sensor will tell you, and it will automatically start braking your car if the car in front of you slams your brakes on the car. They're running fiber optic up State Route 33 right now to put in that smart system for cars. So the new cars will have those sensors on them that will tell you when the car in front of you is braking. Something I'm hoping that we can get right in the middle of real fast is, I was at a presentation a couple weeks ago about what's called truck platooning, where trucks going from Easton or from Rickenbacker to Easton and back, those trucks will be connected by computers. And there'll be a driver in the front semi. The driver in the second semi will just be there for safety. And the driver in the front, when he or she puts on their brakes, will cause the truck behind him to brake. It'll save about 10% in energy because of the aerodynamics going on with them. We should be doing that because the Marion Industrial Center here, 200 to 300 trucks a day are leaving there, and they're coming back with cargo. There's a reason we should be involved in that same system. So we've been working with Dave Claiborne in Ohio State to try and get the person at Ohio State that's sort of heading up that initiative to come up here and see the intermodal facility here and how many trucks are going in and out of it.
It's interesting. Last week I was having a conversation with somebody who was pointing out some things which people tend to do that they were not happy about with Marion, and I was trying to point out there are fascinating things going on. All you have to do is drive down Route 95 and see the construction at Ohio State and see the dorms that fill up as fast as they can build them in Ramtech to say, hey, you know, this is not these things aren't going on in every community.
Yeah.
And so we have a unique perspective. Wouldn't you say, Denny?
Absolutely. There's a resurgence here that's going on that's has come together over the last couple of years that I've been in Marion since 95, and I've never seen anything like this before in Marion with the collaboration going on, people working together, people getting exciting. And it's time to have problems? Of course, every place has problems. That doesn't mean you ignore the problems, but we will push forward in what is going to overcome those problems.
Exactly, and I think we as people are much more alike than we could ever be different, no matter who we are. Mm-hmm. And working together, that's what makes it happen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In Marion, when people drive through, If somebody's listening right now in Delaware or Upper Sandusky, what is a must-see site in Marion? Where do they need to go?
Depends on what they're looking for.
I know.
Because there are a lot of things. If you're looking at manufacturing, you need to go to Ramtech. If you're interested in that, there are the VEX programs, the robotics competitions that we have in Marion. I mean, if that's your bent, if you're outdoors, Marion Tallgrass Trails. If you like arts, Palace Theater. There's a lot of things here for a lot of people, depending on what your interest is.
And that is something that I don't know that people realize. You sometimes have to get out of your bubble to
yes.
see what's going on mm-hmm. in other parts of the community.
Sure.
Downtown Marion, it's an interesting place. It's a fun place to go. All these local merchants mm-hmm. down in the Palace Theater, of course, being down there, it's a great place.
Yeah, absolutely, it's a great place, and it's getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, there are new restaurants, there are new shops opening, new businesses opening. It's beginning to thrive. It's beginning to grow. So, I mean, yes, there is a lot of good positive change happening in Marion right now.
I asked Gus this question: how would you define Marion Can Do? If you had to describe it simply and concisely to somebody who didn't know anything about it, what would you say?
It is the Economic Development Corporation for Marion County, as Gus says, which means we're responsible for wealth-generating companies that don't take income out of the community but bring income into the community, and that would include people that are existing here, like Gus said, like Whirlpool, Wyandotte, Wilson Bohannon, Sika, Royal Group, all of those manufacturers, plus more that I haven't mentioned, and then looking for ways to attract new businesses, wealth-generating companies into Marion.
What are some of the things going on to attract businesses?
One of the things that's coming up this year that we're getting involved in, and this goes back to the collaboration, because if we're going to be America's workforce development capital and we want to attract manufacturing, then we've got to bring manufacturers here. And we've partnered with the CVB right now, and Mark Holbrook this fall is going, I believe, to South Bend, Indiana, to a manufacturing group to find out how we can bring manufacturing conferences to Marion.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So that's it. You know, that's something. Those kinds of things need to begin to happen, and they're going to happen.
You know, living in Marion, one thing I didn't notice, because obviously I don't need a hotel room because I live here, but one time I had to book a room for somebody mm-hmm. recently who was coming in, and they are busy. The hotels are busy. People are coming through and doing things. And I asked the lady running the hotel, I said, you know, what are these people coming in for? They're coming in to see the Harding home. They're coming in to see things that are going on in Marion. And there are people who are going to events in Upper Sandusky and Delaware and Columbus who want to stay here because there are interesting things to do here mm-hmm. outside of the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the auto race? They book a year in advance.
Oh, yes. One of the local motels is contracted with the races course in Lexington, and the entire week is booked by the people who come, who put on that race.
When you're talking to people who are thinking of coming here either for an event or bringing a business here, what knowledge do they seem to come with to the table about the city of Marion?
Well, I think more and more people are recognizing that we have a quality workforce. You know, you may have seen the article in the paper over the weekend about Poet Bioethanol has a representative coming here. And when Kinlan Gaze and I were meeting with the company several weeks ago, one of the questions we asked is, why was Marion selected? You have, you know, half a dozen or so plants around the United States. Why were we selected as one of the potential sites for an expansion? And the first thing he said is because you have the best workforce. And in other words, you have, you know, the farmers here are very reliable and dependable. And we heard that from Union Tank when Union Tank was hiring the 200 welders. And a lot of that has to do, like Denny was saying, about the teamwork and the collaboration. Ohio Meets Jobs, Marion County, Ron Mead and Roxanne Summerlot and the team of people they work with, nobody does it better than they do in demonstrating to companies that if you're in Marion, we can put together a seamless program so that you don't have to get real anxious about the types of employees that are going to be applying. You don't need 1,000 people to apply for 10 jobs. You know, you need 20 jobs. They'll work with you, and you may hire the 20 people that come through the door.
When I was in high school, going into college, I remember people coming to me at that time and saying, you know, a high school degree is not good enough. You must go to college. Mm-hmm. You have to go. I was planning on going anyway, but I think that maybe has changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because these manufacturing jobs, a lot of them don't require necessarily a college degree, but you go to a great place like Tri Rivers mm-hmm. and you get the training there, you can come out into the world.
Yeah, there are a lot of high-paying jobs that require technical skills that you can get at career centers and technical colleges. And, you know, having Ramtech here, let's see, I'm trying to think what her name was, Susan Zellman, who used to be the education director for the state of Ohio, I can't remember the exact title. When she was here a couple years ago, she referred to Ramtech as the capital of robotics education in the state of Ohio. And what a great credit to Marion to have statewide officials recognizing Marion for having that type of program.
What do you think inspired that particular program? What brought it here? Who were the driving forces behind that?
I'll give that one to Denny. Denny's the institutional member.
I think what began to drive that was companies like Honda, automotive companies, where they realize that in the next 10 years they're going to lose half of their workforce and there's nobody to come up and fill those jobs. And so they're starting to say, what are we going to do about this? Because those automotive plants are do use a lot of robotics and driven by a lot of robots, and so people need to know how to work with them and alongside of them. And so I think that was a major driving force. I know Honda's put a lot of money into Ramtech, as well as the robotic manufacturers have put money into it also. So I think that was probably the first time that I heard about it. A driving force behind it was the automotive industry.
You know, seemingly it didn't happen that way, but it just sort of popped up. Didn't happen in my mind that way, that it just sort of popped up. But it really, one day it was like, wow, there it is.
Yeah.
And it's doing such great things.
Yeah.
I want to ask everybody this question. I'll start over here with Lisa. What is the best part of your job and the worst part? Best part and the worst part.
Oh.
You had to know I was coming to you at some point here.
Okay, best part is who I get to meet. Like, we get to work with nearly everyone in the community. I mean, there's organizations and companies and amazing people anywhere. I mean, downtown, throughout the community. The best part is working with all of them, getting to know them. There's tons of connections, great networking opportunities. But it's also just so cool to be on the somewhat of the front lines of all this. It's really cool that I'm going to be able to tell my kids one day, like, hey, we were there when this, you know, really started to take off again. Because Marion's great as is, but it's really cool to be where we are right now. So I love it. I love everything about it. But do I have to answer the second part?
Oh, you got to give me something.
Oh, I don't know. See? I don't know. Worst part is pretty much, okay, I know it. My job being social media and communications is not being able to tell people everything that's going on, because we know so much good stuff, but when people hound us or say, well, what are you guys doing? And they start to think that nothing's going on, I'm not allowed to always say, but we have this, this, and this. So since my job is to communicate, and not being able to always communicate thoroughly is really difficult, because I want people to know what we know.
Yeah, those are good answers.
Thank you.
Yeah, perfect. Gus, best part and worst part?
Creating jobs that people can raise families with the salary they earn. The worst part is when we lose a project to another community.
Mm-hmm. You know,
even though, you know, you have to remember the demographics of the workforce. About half the workforce at Marion leaves the county every day, and about half come into the county to fill jobs. You know, compared to Delaware, where about 70-75% of the workforce leaves the county every day, about 70-75% enter the county. So it's just because a project doesn't locate in Marion doesn't mean that people in Marion won't get those jobs. So even though it's nice to, you know, win projects, because, you know, we maintain the sites for Marion, the, you know, one of the better parts for me is knowing that we're going to have one of the better workforces. And that's, we can have the best sites in the world, but if we don't have a good workforce, we're not going to attract people. And it's also exciting to know that other communities are going to be looking to Marion to help train the workers to fill the jobs they have in their community.
Denny, best part and worst part?
The best part is seeing the community come together and work together as a team. I'm very, very big on working as teams, and that's the way things happen. It doesn't happen on an individual basis, because people choose to get together and work together, put their differences aside, and look toward the future and what's best and what can happen. And that's happening in a greater way, as I said before, than more than I've ever seen in Marion. And it's exciting to be a part of that, because I think that's only going to continue to grow.
Why is there a certain group? I certainly don't think it's the majority, but a minority that have a different perception who live here.
I think it's historical. I think there's always an element in society, not just in Marion, but society as a large, that looks at the negative and not the positive, and that's the worst part of this job, by the way, that I was going to mention, is those people who are negative and don't want to choose to see what's going on and be a part of the solution, but rather just complain about what is wrong.
When that goes on, when people complain, how does that hurt the progression of the city? Because I assume in these people's minds, they want progression. I don't think they want to regress. But how does that hurt what they're striving to want?
Everybody can bring something to the table. I don't care who they are. I don't care what job they do. I don't care what their educational level is. They can make some kind of contribution to the community. And when everybody doesn't make the contribution that they can make, that's what hurts.
Gus, kind of along the same lines, that little negative part that there is in the community, how does that ultimately affect us?
Well, I think it makes you think. It makes you stay on your toes. I think, like Denny was saying, everyone's opinions are very valuable in what we do, and we want to hear all those opinions. You have to believe in something. We spend a tremendous amount of time researching these projects, knowing whether they're good for the community. I don't want to spend a lot of time on a project if they're going to create minimum wage jobs. There are other people that can do that. Our job with Columbus 2020, they have a comprehensive economic development strategy. Our job is to work with companies that attract new wealth to this community. You know, some major retailers will pull money out of a community. You know, you shop there, and then most of the money goes out of the community. We want to create jobs that bring money to this community. And when there's a company that wants to do that, and working with 2020 on that, a tremendous amount of momentum builds up, like this POET project we're working on. There's a tremendous amount of regional support for that project. There's a tremendous amount of local support for that project. I don't mind hearing from naysayers. It keeps you on your toes. It makes you think, what is it that they don't find attractive about that project? Once the train's out of the station, we just try and keep the momentum going until we can close that project and they start construction and they start hiring people.
Lisa, being in communications, is there negative feedback?
We don't get a whole lot.
That's good.
We don't really leave room for it. We just don't take bait. So we don't have a lot. I would say there's always somebody out there who wants to make things a little more difficult. Why do you think that is?
I think that's the question.
I don't know if I'm alone. I have to be fair. I don't know. I think a lot of people are set in their ways, and they want things done their way. And we all have that problem or issue, I guess. But I think sometimes they're not getting the message that we want to work together, even though it's not – like, we don't always get our way, and other organizations don't always get their way. But we try our best to work together, and I think some people just want it done their way, or they don't want to know about it. And I think, there's a lot of – that going on. I'm trying to be careful, but I mean, it's not disrespectful to anyone. It's just, I think a lot of people just don't see that negativity sets us back. If they're talking on social media about this, that, and everything wrong, that's not helping companies want to come here. They're going to say, well, why do I want to be there? Their employees won't want to come here.
Well, can I just add,
Go ahead.
It's not just the negativity maybe from outside. Mm-mm. Look, when we're negotiating with site selectors and companies, there are a lot of people involved at the city, the county, us, other people. Look, there's a lot of negativity that we have to deal with. And okay, do we want to push this incentive forward? Do we want to kind of pull it back? Because we meet companies, for the most part, they want to maximize the amount of incentives they get to come to your community. But we also have to be respectful of governments have to survive and they have to grow. They have to provide the services to the community. If a company comes to town, that may require another fire truck or another piece of firefighting equipment. Well, that has to be purchased with the tax dollars that company generates. So even in our circles, we have some negativity about, it's that,
it's not really negativity, though. I would call it caution.
Yeah, well,
I don't think people are trying to be negative. I think just looking at both sides of things looks like there's tension. But like he said, it kind of needs to happen sometimes.
Well, the important part, again, I think, is that the job gets done. That's what we want to see happen. So, without obviously citing something specific here, just so people can understand what negativity and maybe this little bit of tension does, have there been things that didn't happen that could have happened just solely based on unfortunate perceptions and maybe a little tension that didn't need, or that could have been solved?
Yeah. I just want to kind of point out, I think Denny and Lisa have already kind of talked about this. Look, we're moving forward, and we're moving forward much faster than most other communities in this region and the state and maybe the nation. When you look at last year, about $90 million were invested in major projects between the Kroger Marketplace, you know, the OSU Engineering Building, Union Tank, ReConserve, the Harding 2020, Ohio Health, you know, a bunch of other companies. Look, this year right now, that was $90 million in 2016. 2017, I mean, right now we're looking at over $200 million that could be invested here. You know, Poet's about $120 million. Working with another company, it's $80 million. And there's a couple other companies that are in the million, two million. You know, Ted Graham at the Marion Industrial Center just signed a contract to have 8 to 10 rail cars a day come in with beverages from Mexico. So there's a lot of stuff going on. I know there's a few things, you know, could we have done it a little bit different? We've lost a couple projects. You know, we lost a call center. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed when we were told the reason was the call center thought that we were too far away from Columbus. But, you know, my response was, well, okay, not to the company. I wouldn't say this to the company, but I said, I bet the employees in Marion are much more reliable than you're going to find in the Columbus workplace market. So, you know, we learn and we move on to the next project. We can't continue. If we take 3 steps forward and we take 4 steps backwards, we need to take 4 or 5 steps forward to get it. And I think Marion's taken some giant leaps in the last 2 or 3 years.
That being said, I think that's where we want to go is the future, certainly. We don't want to look at the past for any negativity. How do we get 90% of on people board with all the good stuff that has been talked about here today? How do we make that happen?
Well, I'll just add real quick, because I'm hot on this thing about this Columbus's Smart City initiative. We need to jump in that feet first. And there are going to be some leaders in the community. They're going to do that. But, you know, like I was talking about truck platooning, we need to be in the middle of that. There's no reason that 23 cannot be one of the smart traffic corridors. We have the educational institutions here. You know, we have the people here that can help manufacture some of the equipment that'll go into that. So we need if we're looking in the future, you know, we've been told in 2020 Audi and BMW will quit making gasoline-powered cars. Honda and Toyota, I think they said about 2050. We need to be in the middle of that. There's no reason we shouldn't.
But I think on a local level, like this whole Marion Made campaign just got rolled out, and Community Foundation owns that. They're spearheading that. But, I mean, a lot of people I've gotten asked, what is that? You know, I wore my shirt, and people are like, what are you talking about? You know, I think people see stuff, but they think it's only a certain crowd maybe that is involved. And I think that people can really start getting engaged by looking into what it is. You know, the questions I have are like, well, I saw it, but how do I get involved? And so when I get asked that question, I give them some ways to get involved. You know, people want to. I think they don't know how a lot of the time. So I would challenge people, you know, if you don't know what's happening or you want more information, contact people. Reach out. Do your research. Because a lot of the feedback that I get on social media is, well, I don't know anything about that. I'm like, well, you have to ask, you know. And so I think it has to go 2 ways. We're doing a lot on our part. But community, they want something to do. And so, we'll, you know, there's a lot out there for people to do, to get involved with. So I would say to people, just, you know, try to get out. Even if you don't know exactly what, reach out. Community Foundation, us, downtown, there's tons of people that can use you and want you to be their voice. So with everything else going on, people wanting to know what's going on, I mean, all they have to do is ask. We'll set them up. I don't even care. We just want people to get excited, because we can't always be the ones talking. We need people to be out there advocating for us too.
Yeah, people. Oh, go ahead,
Danny. I think the moving forward, the getting to the 90% that you mentioned, is going to happen just by continuing to do what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. When we started this 2 years ago, the group was very small. Mm-hmm. Every month, the group gets bigger and bigger and bigger, because people want to be a part of something that's good and something that's successful. And so when they run into that, it's like Lisa said, what is this? You know, is this for me? Is this a good thing? Is it helping Marion? I think people want to live in that healthy community, in that community that thrives. And so when they see things that are going on and they have an opportunity to jump in, an opportunity to be a part of it, they'll do that. And you'll get eventually to that 90%, because I think that's innate in people, that they want to be a part of something good.
You know, I would say, we had this conversation yesterday on President's Day, oddly enough, that if you have a county, really a city, that produced, and I understand this is a historic perspective, but if you have a city or county that produced a president and a Miss America, which was a big deal, mm-hmm. within 20 years of each other, mm-hmm. there's something about the people. I mean, when you the outliers are what are a production of the people, mm-hmm. who were here. And even if people, the people who do these presidential rankings, put Harding at 44 or whatever it is, there are 2,000, 4,000 other counties across the country that never had, mm-hmm. anybody on that list. Mm-hmm. So it's there is something here that, yes. we have, that, yes. that people like, sure. a Warren Harding, Mary Ellen Withrow, Marilyn Meskey, mm-hmm. they came from the same place you do. Huey Lewis, mm-hmm. John Dean, mm-hmm. here for a bit. So, you know, I think it's very inspiring for a student in any school here, mm-hmm. to be said, a president came from the same city you're in right now. There are expectations, I think, mm-hmm. that are there. And I've always thought a little bit of the negativity was because such a high bar was set in the early part of the 20th century for Marion. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing wrong with other communities, but boy, it was a high bar in the early 20th century. We had a president and a Miss America year. Mm-hmm. It was big times in Marion. But it can be again. Do you think we can get there again?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at what's happening with the presidential library, is something we hadn't mentioned yet today. I mean, that's going, I don't know that we truly understand the impact that's going to have on the community, because there are literally thousands of people in this nation that travel around to go to presidential sites. And Marion will be the only site in the nation that has a memorial, a home, and a presidential library. And that's going to draw people, tourists. And so it's that kind of thing that we're talking about, where we can get back to being a thriving community because of what's here, and because we're focusing on the shift that needs to happen in manufacturing. We will still be a manufacturing community, but it will be a shift in the way manufacturing is done. And it'll take maybe a few years to get there, but we will get there.
What will happen to the schools, the retailers, when the manufacturing continues to grow? What will happen in those other areas?
Well, you know, I thought a few weeks ago at Rotary, Dean Jacob, the president of the Community Foundation, gave a presentation on Marion Made. And kind of along what you're asking, he showed a picture of probably back in the 50s or 60s of girls in a home ec class. And then you fast forward to today, and here's a group of girls in a robotics class. And that's, to me, that's some of the change that's going on.
Will we see the change? A lot of people are interested in the schooling. You know, they want good schools. Do you think there'll be a tremendous impact on schools other than Tri-Rivers? Will we see it in the other school districts?
Oh, it's already started. I mean, I think Marion City Schools has taken incredible steps toward that kind of shift in the educational system, where they're not looking just to put out a traditional four-year student that wants to go to college, but it's, okay, so the student doesn't want to go to college. How can we prepare them to get into the workforce? How can we prepare them to be a contributing member of society? How can we meet the needs that they want to do? And so it's a little shift in terms of the way that they're looking at things, but Gus mentioned the logistics class out there, the Ramtech, and then there's the logistics class out at Marion Harding that is incredible, that is teaching students how to do logistics because of the Marion Intermodal facility being a logistics facility, but it's also training them to think how a company, what it is to be a part of a company, where they will actually create a company and they will actually have teams, and you'll have a president, and you'll have a communication, you'll have a logistics person, you'll have every major supervisory position, managerial position in that company, and then they put together and solve a problem and then make the presentation to the class. Those kinds of things are happening in Marion, and they are continuing to innovate in the way that education needs to happen to meet the needs of kids today to get a job when they graduate.
When people are in a classroom, I think, unfortunately, when report cards are published and things, they make the paper, mm-hmm. and that makes a headline,
sure.
and we all go, oh, okay, well, this is what's going on. But these things are things we don't hear about, and that is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. But I think it's shifting because of... we were at a presentation probably last year sometime, and I asked Gary Barber, the superintendent, that same question. I said, so because of the changes that are being made that are outside the bounds of being measured by the current report cards that the state requires, and I said, so how is the state of Ohio reacting to the shifts that you're making that need to be made? And he said those talks are going on right now, and they're going on very well, and they understand the shift and the need that needs to be made. And so in that respect, Marion is on the forefront of the way education is being done in Ohio.
And that is a great pride factor in anybody listening to this program or anybody who knows about this, because certainly that's something you want to talk about in your little groups. Mm-hmm. Something, Lisa, you brought up was people wanting to get involved, mm-hmm. not necessarily knowing how.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I mean, do they send messages on Facebook? Are there offices they call? What are some good groups, good ways for people to get involved?
There's good old Google. You can find anyone you want. But I say Facebook is probably the best. I mean, I'm accessible. Downtown Marion, Inc., they've got a Facebook page. And they'll be happy to hook you up with some way to get involved. There's lots of them. I would say Facebook is probably a big one. We're on Twitter and LinkedIn. I mean, there's ways to know what's going on, and there's ways to get involved. You just, again, you have to try to contact somebody. I mean, get a hold of the chamber. There's just all kinds of resources. Depends on what you're looking for.
Well, I'll tell you a couple things. One is when you're at breakfast or lunch or dinner at a restaurant, talk loud and talk good about Marion.
Yeah. Only if you're talking good.
And the other is when you're talking to friends that may be out-of-town guests, make sure they know what's going on in Marion. Because as the word spreads, you know, it's kind of almost exponentially, you know, the good word can get spread about what's going on in Marion.
Do you think the group in schools right now have a good perspective? Because they see it. They're going to school every day. They're seeing things going on that maybe this is generational in a way.
You mean dealing with millennials?
Yeah, dealing with millennials.
He likes to use that.
The millennials.
You know what? Can I say something? As a student in high school, we never had business leaders come in and listen to us and give us any time of day. There wasn't that around. And like when I went to the logistics thing at the high school, I was so impressed with these students. But if I were one of them, I'd be like, okay, all these community leaders are coming in to hear us. That says a lot about where the future is going. If I would have known that community people actually cared about us and wanted us involved, I probably would have done a little bit better in school, I'm not going to lie. But, like, having Gus and Denny and, I mean, there's all kinds of people that go in there. Was the mayor there? Lots of people. Yeah. I mean, like, that says a lot. And hopefully they're getting the value, saying, okay, they care, and there really is stuff for us out there. That's something I didn't have.
There's also a program at OSUM, Economic Geography, that all does a little differently, but they will, their projects, they break up into teams, and they are given a location, a general, like say Let's Fast Food, okay, and they need to go out and they need to research, number one, what company do they think will be successful in Marion? Where am I going to locate it? Why am I locating it here? Who's my clientele going to be? And they make that presentation. So that is another venue where students are being schooled and getting experience in what it's going to take to be a part of a society that is productive.
And before we wrap up the program today, I'm going to go down the line here again. Tonight, if people are going out to dinner, people listening to this show, are they sitting in front of their Facebook or whatever they've got in front of them right now, cell phone, What should they be talking about? Something about Marion, something good, something coming, something maybe here that most people don't know about. What's the conversation?
Conversation? I think the conversation is kind of what we've talked about before is, okay, should I be involved? And if I should be involved, how should I be involved? What is it that I can do to get on, so to speak, the bandwagon that's making Marion a star-lit community again? Where's my contribution? What is my part? Where do I go to find that? And have that conversation with whoever you're going out to dinner with, and have it with other tables that are in the restaurant, because that breeds an excitement, that breeds purpose, it breeds, hey, this can happen, and I need to be a part of this because I can make a contribution.
Gus, if I'm in a restaurant tonight and I'm talking loud, what am I talking loud about?
Did Poet Bio Refinery select Marion for its $120 million expansion? Did you hear? Have you heard?
Lisa, what am I talking about tonight?
Can they pronounce all that? You know, I was just thinking last night, BJ Gruber, he made a splash. I mean, he's on, well, something with him and a student here, Positive, helping her with her homework on Facebook. That kind of stuff I want to know about as a parent. Or, you know, as a community member. I mean, come on. He's on CBS News Inside Edition. He's the local channels in Columbus. We're picking him up. All kinds of stuff like that. It doesn't have to be all this big manufacturing talks and people don't care. But, I mean, you've got local heroes here in town who are getting national attention now. And so more of that. Be inspired by that. I think that's super exciting. And then it encourages, this, like, we can all be that person. You know, we don't need that. But we all have the opportunity to actually be that person.
It was a great story. That was a great
it
story.
Was.
And that it went all the way around. Mm-hmm. That was
Even
fascinating.
Even though his math was wrong, mine would have been wrong.
Did somebody mention that? I didn't know.
It
didn't
was in
that.
The article on CBS.
Like, oh, so they went.
He gave her wrong advice, but he goes, you know, I tried. It's the thought that counts. He goes, apparently, since I can't count.
Like, well, you know, you have to laugh at yourself.
I wouldn't have known the difference,
it.
So.
No, I hadn't heard that part of it,
thing.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, BJ.
Well, I thank you guys so much for coming in, because I think it's important to learn about what is going on in our community and where we're headed and where we're going. And this has been a lot of fun. I thank Denny Ferguson, Gus Comstock, Lisa Mendoza, Marion Candu for coming in today. And tomorrow, Senator Sherrod Brown on the show. And then on Thursday, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor. So a lot of politics coming up this week. So stay tuned. This is Scott Spears for this Tuesday, heading for the dugout. Stay well, stay tuned.
The WUB Bookstore, comic books and magic cards, now open in the Marion Center Mall.
We're having fun every day from 1 to 3 p.m. on Now with Scott Spears, right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, you know, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Our professional wrestler and movie star, Ox Baker.
I want to tell you, listeners of the WWGH, this is Ox Baker. Mary, hi, I know you listen to WWGH. You better start listening.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you, Scott Spears? Ted Williams here.